soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula 866-229-3663 or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com. 1-800-HERB-TALK-LIVE. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day here on Herb Talk. It's all about empowerment. Hey, magical engineer Frank, you ready? Oh, he's ready. I'm ready. Thanks for joining us here on the American Voice Radio Network, WWCR, and other networks. We got a great show. We're going to be talking about the causes of some inflammation, and it's going to go down this road that you may not have thought about. And we have a quack report, but Frank, heads up, it's brief. And before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and Semper Fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. I'm hitting the knees, and I'm seeking Lord's face, and I'm mining the time because it grows short. And our devotional is in Ephesians chapter 2, where it says, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Yeah, so you're saved through faith, through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is your salvation. He is your Redeemer. He is the Prince of Peace, and He's coming soon. So if you don't know the Lord, find the time to grow short. This invitation has an expiration date, and you don't want to be caught unawares like the people in the day of Noah. And without further ado, let's do the quack report.
Back and back, 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 back and back.
Thanks, Frank. Okay. Hey, guess what? The FDA, Franks, ends the official COVID vaccine protocol. They're saying that people should receive no more than one mRNA dose of the serum and no more boosters. Yep. They're saying 230 million Americans, that's like 71.5% of the population, got at least one or two doses of the COVID serum. And the U.S. Food and Drug Administration is changing the rules on, well, they're not requiring it anymore as an injection for a period of time, and no additional boosters are needed. So the FDA made the change this week under simplifying the COVID vaccination schedule on their website, ending the two-dose mRNA regimen, and got rid of the booster stuff. So from now on, almost nobody older than 65 is going to be eligible for getting any more boosters, and most people in general will only get one of those shots. Wow. Okay, and that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Thank you, Frank. Alrighty, we are going to be talking about the cause of inflammation. So, science is kind of learning that a precursor to a lot of diseases is inflammation. Okay, we've been hearing about this. Now, in January 2023, I did report on a new study in the Science Direct Journal that stated inflammation was the beginning of eye disease like glaucoma, macular degeneration, and cataracts. So inflammation in the eye puts the cornea, the lens, the retina, and the macula at risk. So what medical science is really not looking for is the cause of the inflammation. So if we can eliminate the cause, we have a better chance of avoiding chronic eye disease or diseases in general. So let's check it out. First, let's talk about the isolated cause. Because in most instances, inflammation is caused by an infection or an allergic reaction. An infection can be natural or unnatural. For example, pathogens that we can acquire naturally from the environment or from contact with an infected person, that's kind of a natural contact of an infection. An unnatural infection would be an artificial infection, which would be a vaccination. So allergic reactions can also be from different antagonists, like getting the wrong blood in a blood transfusion, or having a negative reaction to a medication. So it can also stem from a food allergy, which affects millions of people. So in the United States, there are 26 million adults and 5.6 million children with food allergies. And all these things that we just mentioned can bring on inflammation. So let's look at the foods that may cause inflammation, because due to the frequent exposure to foods we have, allergies by far are probably the most likely candidate for inflammation-induced diseases. And many don't realize they are allergic to their diet. Now, here's an example. A milk allergy is an example. It often can create a lot of upper head infections, your ear aches, tonsillitis, strep throat, sinus infections, or bronchitis. And skin conditions also can erupt from that. Eczema and psoriasis can develop. So food allergies are very common. And with this food group, wheat, dairy, nuts, and shellfish. Those are the common big four. Inflammation can also occur when you consume red meats, processed and cured meat, especially with preservatives added, grains, including rice and corn, snack foods, which tend to have a lot of allergen foods like milk in them. Fried foods is on the list, as well as soda and other sweetened drinks, food dyes, and, of course, your refined sugar. Now, I want to just pull you in the direction of thinking GMO and a GMO allergy. So your genetically modified antigens in your foods that have been modified can create allergies. So medical science tells us that humans are really not supposed to be allergic to your GMO foods. And they say that the food allergens would stem from peanuts and tree nuts, milk, eggs, wheat, soy, shellfish, fish, and sesame seeds. So there are hundreds of foods people are allergic to, like spices and chocolate and fermented foods, for instance. Also, you have to be looking at, there may be, you may be limited, for science really is kind of limited. They don't like to look at the problem of where inflammation stems from. So, for instance, to have a limited list of foods shows us, you know, medicine is really looking at, it's not a priority for them to look at foods as an instigator for inflammation. So medical science isn't looking there. So the statement that people are really not allergic to GMO foods is really not a scientific one, especially if science is stating there's no difference between conventional and GMOs. So the science is saying the offending allergic proteins in the GMO foods have been removed. They're not included there anymore. So the food source is very unlikely to produce allergies. That's what they're saying about the GMOs. But obviously, then your GMOs are not the same as conventional foods. They've been altered, they've been modified, and they can cause problems if science is really willing to look at it. So if we compare the percentage of conventional to GMO corn, for instance, we find that a majority of the corn, 92%, is genetically modified in the United States. Here is a study by the National Library of Medicine Center for Biotechnology. They said this in February 2009. They say animal toxicity studies with certain GMO foods have shown that they may toxify or have effect, may affect several organs and systems. They said the results of most studies with GMO foods indicate that they may cause some common toxic effects such as hepatic or liver problems, pancreatic problems, renal problems, or reproductive effects, and they can alter also the hematological, biochemical, and immunological parameters, which may promote cancer. So my goodness, see all those systems in the human body that a GMO can affect, your liver, your pancreas, renal, which is kidneys, your reproductive system, also your immune system. Well, let's look at another study. This is June 2013. It's a study in the Journal of Organic Systems, and they reported on a peer review research study on genetically modified foods versus conventional foods. And they also looked at the side effects of those two groups. So the research was conducted on pigs, and the outcome was the pigs consuming your GMO foods develop stomach inflammation. Now, the two groups of pigs were fed the two diets after they were weaned, and they were fed these diets for about 6 months, which is the lifespan of a pig that is grown for food sources, you know, before they go to slaughter. So the study was a blinded randomized trial conducted in a commercial piggery setting. And trained veterinarians performed the autopsies, but they didn't know from which food group the pigs came from, so they weren't sure what the pig was fed. They weren't told. So here's what they said in the report. GMO-fed pigs had significantly higher and more severe rate of stomach inflammation compared to the non-GMO-fed pigs. They went on to say the GMO-fed female pigs had 25% increased weight of the uterus. Now, the male pigs, they were neutered after birth, so they weren't studying their reproductive area. Now, the critics of the study had connections to the biotech industry, and they had no studies to present scientifically rebuttal to the pig study. So this study on pigs had a very good control group, and it highlights how animal studies can be covered up or discredited. Now, animal studies are kind of done for a reason before human trials begin. So if there are health risks, the human trials normally are not going to be conducted if the animals become sick. So the lead scientist on the study was Dr. Judy Carman. She's a professor at Flinders University in Adelaide, Australia. And she has a doctorate in medicine specializing in nutritional biochemistry and metabolic regulation, along with a master's degree in public health, specializing in epidemiological and biostatistics. So Dr. Carmen points out that the myocotoxins, which are a naturally occurring fungi that can grow on food, were not the cause of the inflammation in the study. She said a majority of the studies on GM foods showed no health risk, but the pigs have this digestive system that's similar to humans, and it's really unfortunate that the pig study is largely ignored, and the industry is really not conducting further studies like it. What'd you say, Frank? Frank is saying, and all these problems occur in less than 6 months. Well, yeah, on the pigs it did. But we're digging deeper there, Frank. One moment. Let me read you a quote from the study. This was Dr. Carl Craner. He's PhD professor of physiology and environmental toxicity at University of California. He said this: it will be important to determine whether people who are already predisposed to gastrointestinal conditions have more sensitive responses to GMO foods. That's what he said. Also, he went on to say, determining whether GM foods pose significant risks for humans may be difficult. No institutional review board would approve a human study where one half of the participants ate a strict diet of GM food. Nobody's going to approve a study like that, huh? And then here's Joy Dunboss. She's a PhD. She's a food scientist. She says 80% of processed foods contain GMO products already. And Carolee Bartolano, she's a dietitian. She says, I think it's a really important pig study, and I know it's received a lot of criticism, she says, but I think it highlights the fact that we just don't know enough about the long-term health effects of eating genetically modified foods. And I agree with that statement she has. So this is kind of highlighting to the general public, you're kind of the study. You're the study group. You're the test, eating the GM foods that they've already approved of. There's no control group. There's no peer review oversight on it, though. Even though the pigs had problems, science is not looking for the health problems from eating GM foods. And any health issues produced most likely is going to be diagnosed as a common medical condition. So here's the approved GM foods on the market. And they're adding to these annually. Corn, common U.S. crop, and most of it's GM. Soy, cottonseed, sugar beets, Hawaiian papaya, zucchini, squash, potatoes, canola, alfalfa, apples, pink pineapples, and wheat. Here's a quote from Lona Sandrun, professor of clinical nutrition, University of Texas Southwestern Medical in Dallas. She is saying, the question of how much of a GM food would be required to produce a response is significant, and how easily and not easily answered, she said. For me, the pig study is very thought-provoking. End of quote. So they're not able to answer long-term use of GMOs and how much you're going to eat it before you get sick. Well, you got inflammation in disguise then here. The critics of the pig study didn't want to investigate the possibilities of inflammation from eating GM foods. So what are the chances your medical physicians are not looking at GM foods as the contributing factor for things like irritable bowel syndrome, cancer, or eye disease like cataracts, glaucoma, or macular degeneration? Could it be that hidden GM foods are more prevalent, causing inflammation responses and, you know, leading to a myriad of serious health conditions? So if 90% of the U.S. corn is GMO, think about how many products corn is included in. Corn starch is in thousands of products, from gravy to soup. And corn ingredients are going to be included in, here's a brief list, your baked goods, your crackers, your breads, your pretzels, your fillings, your icing, brewed beverages like beer and ale, food additives like citric acid, as well as medicines. It's in intravenous fluids, injectable drugs, vaccines, and prescribed pills. Did you know that? Well, here's a journal article called On Target, December 2017, and they said inflammation is frequently a key element in the pathological progression of organ disease. More research needs to be done as to the understanding of the inflammatory response for improved prevention and treatment. Inflammation is the precursor to disease. National Library of Medicine says, given the high cost nature of the inflammatory response, a suboptimal cost-benefit balance has a high potential to negatively impact fitness and cause disease. It should be noted that common inflammatory diseases are indeed diseases of disrupted hemeostasis, so your metabolic function is disrupted and it causes inflammation. So could it be that GM foods disrupt the equilibrium in the body, provoking the inflammation, and thereby giving disease a foothold? Wouldn't this keep modern medicine flooded with patients paying for high-cost treatments? And would feeding livestock GM foods also cause animals to become sick, and then if those were fed to humans, cause more illness? So if this is the case, accumulation of GM food toxin is something the food agencies and your health authorities are not going to address. So it will be up to the individual to exercise caution and to highly scrutinize foods. So how toxic does the food pyramid have to become before someone makes the connection? Indeed. Well, you know what? You know what they did in World War II, Frank? People had victory gardens. During World War II, Americans grew gardens, fresh vegetables, fruits, and they kept them, they kept them healthier. So Americans should use heirloom seeds, no GMOs, and become more self-sufficient this way. So most gardeners also have an herb section in their garden. Medicinal herbs have always been a part of homestead gardening. So you want to select some of your favorite herbs and grow homestead garden and put it in your homestead garden. You want to select some of your favorite herbs there, and this is going to protect your health with medicinal herbs and organic foods, fruits and vegetables. It's a blessing. This is a blessing. So if you can't grow your own herbs, let's say, then you might want to stock a really good brand that has a long shelf life. So if you store herb products, you know, in an environmentally controlled manner, they have a very long shelf life. So the folks at Apothecary Herbs is the number one person I would be calling. Their number is 866-229-3663. That's toll free, 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., it's 828-469-5972. So for you Canadians, Australians, U.K., New Zealanders, give us a call at 828-469-5972. Of course, the website is available, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com, because what you're doing is you're taking the power back. That's right. They have a free product catalog, and their new catalog is available. And if you want products with a 10-year shelf life, your tinctures will have a 10-year shelf life. Your powders and teas, a 5-year shelf life. That's a huge blessing in itself right there. So God's whole foods and his medicinal herbs is a win-win for your body. It really is. So their back-in-stock sale is in full swing, 20% off, orders of $55 or more. You want to use coupon code BIS2023, so back-in-stock 2023. The sale does end Saturday, April 22nd, so you do want to hurry, and restrictions do apply. So if you've been thinking about stocking up on pandemic kits, heart attack packs, snake bite kits, if you live in rural areas, all these things are going to be huge when other things aren't available. Huge. 10-year shelf life. So give them a call. Look them up. Get empowered. Get educated. And, you know, defend yourself from a lot of this toxicity. This is just a corruption of the food chain, Frank. You know, just huge. And there's this little breadcrumbs. I mean, you can figure it out. But we know why. The industries don't want to figure that out. There's too much money on, you know, genetically modifying plants and then patenting them and charging everybody triple what they should be paying. So Baker Creek is a company that has heirloom seeds. If you want to get some of those for your garden, is a good one. So they're out there. You can do a search online. So you can get what you need and learn how to garden and can and preserve things. There's ways. Victory Garden, they're coming back. If you're on the website, thepowerherbs.com, don't forget, sign up for the free online newsletters. The American Survival and the Health Quest go out each week, and they're absolutely free, but they're delivered only by email, so you have to have an email address. So you go to thepowerherbs.com, click on Books and Newsletters, and you can sign up there for free. Also, just a reminder for those of you that, you know, can't always hear the show live, we do archive it also at thepowerherbs.com. So you go to the Herb Talk section and look up the show you want to listen to and listen for free anytime you want. So thepowerherbs.com, it's all about empowerment, and it's your empowerment. I can see by the clock we're going to take a little break and be right back with more.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. Henry Ford, the automobile. And herbalist Wendy Wilson? Well, discover for yourself. Listen to Herb Talk Live.
As we age, there can be many reasons why we feel tired, have memory issues, gain weight, struggle with stress, or feel depressed. These symptoms can be indicators that the adrenal glands that sit on top of your kidneys need metabolic strengthening. There are herbs known to improve adrenal gland function, circulation, blood pressure, skin, muscle, and bone strength. Why suffer with weakness when you can use gland-strengthening medicinal herbs? Empower yourself with the organic balanced chemistry in the adrenal gland formula.
blood.
You will remove the risk of megadoses and offer specific nutrition the body needs. Call Apothecary Herbs now for their adrenal gland formula, 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com. That's Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Bossy.
Oh, thank you, Frank. Bouncy music, as always. All right. Well, we're going to be talking about your brain a little bit here. Everybody's got, you know, you got that circadian rhythm in your head. You got a brain clock, if you will. And some people have issues with headaches and things. So, I had a neighbor when I was growing up who would get really bad headaches, and she would talk to my mother about it, and I would hear their conversations. So I recall her saying that certain things would bring on headaches for her, and each year she discovered just another thing that made her more susceptible to headaches. So these are a growing number of people, though, that are developing headaches, and they can be very disabling. I used to work for a neurologist that migraine headache patients were always coming through his door, and they were always being put on heavy medications for that. So let's look at the statistics. 1 in 6 people have recurrent headaches. This is like 45 million Americans, and out of that, 8 million have strong prescriptions that help control their headache pain. So it's also estimated that headaches are responsible for 157 million lost man hours of work each year. And it's estimated Americans spend about $4 billion on over-the-counter headache pain relievers every year. Now, a majority of headache sufferers will get a generic diagnosis regarding their headaches as being, not due to other underlying problems. This is typically what you read. So the rest may also get a diagnosis that their headaches are due to a more underlying cause. Could be a tumor or an infection or an ENT problem, or some certain brain disease. So we also know that statistics tend to harbor error margins, and not all headaches in patients are the same. So here is Alexander Meskop. He's a medical director in New York Headache Center. He said, doctors don't always know the reason for headaches. Well, I knew that too, working for a neurologist. So there's different types of headaches. Majority of people are aware of the tension, the migraine, and the stress headaches. So medicine states that more females, 88%, than males at 69%, will get headaches, and the average age of the onset of headaches is the age of 12. Some of the triggers that will bring on headaches, there's different ones. Women also have different triggers than men do because of the hormonal or estrogen fluctuation. So the common known triggers, foods like chocolate, red wine, aged blue cheese, beer, MSG, sauerkraut, and processed meats. Some of the environmental allergies are temperature changes, smoke or dust or wood fiber and particles, animal dander, or cold wind. Anxiety is also a stress factor, or trigger for headaches. Glare, blue screens, TV, computers, phones, and tablets can bring on a headache for some folks. And noise. You got a lot of job noise or noisy refrigerator running or an appliance that runs constantly, and it can bring around about a headache. I worked in an office like that once. We had this noisy refrigerator, Frank, in the break room. I thought I was going to just, you know, kill the thing because my little cubicle was closest to the break room. I didn't get headaches, but it was just annoying. It just wears on you. Some less known triggers, though, are weight gain. So new research is saying that obesity or mass index of 30-plus can increase your headache risk by 35%. Personalities came into frame with headaches. Health experts are saying individuals who have personalities that are more rigid or reserved or obsessive-compulsive tend to be more headache-prone. Also, sexual activity. There was a survey of headache sufferers. They reported that a headache can be triggered after having sex. And they reported a very dull pain begins during foreplay, and then the headache begins around the orgasm. It also is more common for men and women than women to experience this type of trigger. Overexertion also is a trigger. Individuals who engage in intense or rigorous exercise workouts, joggers and weightlifters, they can complain of that can bring on a headache for them. Also on the list is routine breaks. Some people say that they experience headaches when there is a change or a break in their normal routine. So medical doctors tell them to they call this a letdown response for a headache, they tell them try to keep your routine as steady as you can. Paint. Here we go, paint. And the fumes from paint, that can bring on a headache. You breathe in all those paint fumes. Try to get odorless paints if you're going to paint. Also, being dehydrated can bring on a headache. Oddly enough, you can often leave a headache pain just by drinking several glasses of water. Or by eating fruits or vegetables that contain more water, like watermelon. Fasting, skipping meals can bring on a headache, as well as excessive caffeine use can trigger a headache. Being too inactive, this was a Swedish study. They said that headaches, if we don't exercise regularly, it could bring on a headache. So just 30 minutes of exercise a day is very helpful. They said sleep. Cutting short your sleep hours is also not good if you're a headache sufferer. And bone alignment, you get to your chiropractor, they're saying, and make sure you get your headaches will diminish more frequency if you get bone alignment. But then there's the medications that can bring on a headache. Hormone replacement meds, your menopause or erectile dysfunction medicines, birth control pills, or injections, drug addiction treatments, blood pressure meds, cardiovascular drugs, synthetic vitamins, headache medications. You can get what is called a rebound effect and get a headache worse than when you started. Non-steroidal anti-inflammatory meds and analgesics, as well as aspirin, acetaminophen, hydrocortisone or codeine, anti-infection agents and medicines, digestive aids over-the-counter like Tagamet and Zantac, as well as your prescription versions, pulmonary medications over-the-counter like Sudafed or prescriptions, endocrine medications, that's your reproductive system, and also central nervous system meds like levodopa. They can also bring on headaches. Some of your illegal drugs that are big triggers for headaches are cocaine. And foods that can counteract the headaches would be spinach, tofu, oat bran, barley, fish, and olive oil. That's because of the omega-3 fatty acids, as well as white beans and sunflower and pumpkin seeds. They can counteract a headache. Now, here's a new study. This is a European College of Neuropsychopharmacology. They're claiming that some people with a certain gene have an increased risk of having a headache, especially if they are under financial stress. Researchers called the gene the clock gene because it was strongly related to the circadian rhythm or cycle of the brain. According to their research, when people with the clock gene come under financial stress, they can develop migraine headaches. So the topic of the headache is complex, they said, and science is trying to pinpoint which genes and maybe offer biological factors that are responsible for influencing your central nervous system into the result of a headache. Well, if they're going to look for a gene, Frank, what do you think they're going to get? They're going to get a gene CRISPR out, and they're going to try to CRISPR people. So the research team also says that the clock gene is highly influenced by light and other environmental changes. The odd correlation was that the gene was also influenced by other variants, like if you're experiencing financial stress, brought a headache on 20% more risk of a headache. And they think that when a person experiences financial stress situation, it releases a specific protein which influences the mechanisms in the brain, and you get that impaired function of a headache. Researchers think that your gene variation may affect one-third of our population, and the research was published in Science Daily in September 2017. Here's a quote from Donald Baska. He is with the University of Budapest. He said, "There is no single cause for headaches, such as with migraine headaches. This work suggests that those experiencing financial hardship influence genetics in a certain individual with a particular gene variant causing a headache. So we are looking at other circadian gene variants in association with different stress factors to see if there is a cause and effect for a headache." But, you know, they don't want to look at nutrition. And nutrition's a big deal because scientists, they'll look at genes. And by the way, nutrition can change your genetic code in 6 days, so I don't know why they don't look at nutrition. Nutrition, you know, can be a huge factor. A process of elimination with the nutrients you may be lacking, often conducted by naturopaths, can be a very big help. A typical place to start with is deficiencies in things like magnesium and B vitamins, because the nervous system runs on bees. So headache sufferers typically don't eat enough foods that contain these types of nutrients. So B vitamins and magnesium. So green leafy vegetables, as well as legumes and beans, nuts and seeds, whole grains, and omega-3 fatty acids will definitely help you out. Gary Null, PhD, had him on the show once. He said he's the author of Reboot Your Brain. Actually interviewed him when that book came out. He states that nutrients in foods and your medicinal herbs have properties that are gentler and more effective at dealing with headaches without the side effects of drugs. Some of the herbs that he would list for migraines are ginkgo biloba, because it offers a cerebral circulation property and improves oxygen flow to the brain. He said feverfew is on his list. It has some anti-inflammatory and pain-relieving action. Great for migraines, he said. Valerian root, he said, works, has a mild, relaxant property and lowers your blood pressure. And white willow bark is a natural alternative to an aspirin product for headache pain. So you have some alternatives there. You have some power there to control the pain and deal with it without toxic chemicals. So getting your right nutrients and making sure you get the right medicinals. Get your whole food medicinals if you're going to use those that have a long shelf life and are, you know, professional strength. And the place I go is the powerherbs.com website or the folks at Apothecary Herbs. You can give them a call and get their catalog. They have quite a few things. They do have the valerian root, the ginkgo formulas in there. They have the willow bark and meadow sweet. They have a lot of things you can get dealing with pain. Their number is 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com. And don't forget, take advantage of their back in stock sale. 20% off. All right, we're going to shift gears. We have a few minutes here, so we're going to talk about, again, a little bit of your brain topic here, but we're going to talk about technology and your brain. You know how it is, Frank. Science. You know, the biotech industry has moved into medicine here, and they've melded together, and it's like something out of Star Trek, basically, where they're wanting to put, you know, gadgets in your head, right? I was talking to one of the postal clerks just this week about stuff like this. Elon Musk came up, you know, with the chip guy, the brain chip guy. And anyway, I was just astounded because here's this, you know, 30-year-old guy and 6 foot. And we were talking about that. And I said, would you get one of those chips in your head? And he goes, well, I don't know. I guess it would depend. I said, depend on what? He says, well, circumstances, you know, like if I needed to be competitive in the job market and have to have one of those, then yeah, I probably would. I was like shocked. I had nothing I could say to that. I was just like, wow. I mean, okay. So let's just kind of jump in here. Because there's a lot of talk over interfacing the human brain with chip technology to things like the internet so people can function faster and smarter, supposedly. So there's a startup company called Kernel. They're working on interfacing microchips for the human brain. And science and technology companies look at such ventures as, you know, making improvements on God's creation. Like he didn't finish the job. Seriously bad. Now, of course, the world is, you know, being told that the breakthrough technology will help medical science defeat diseases. So, you know, they're pushing along, get those superhuman capabilities while you can. That's kind of the marketing tool. Here's what Brian Johnson, founder of Kernel, says. We are unlocking the true potential of the mind and is the single greatest thing humanity can achieve. That's not the single greatest thing. Single greatest thing is to know Lord Jesus Christ and get your salvation while you can. They go on to say, to further explore our human boundaries and through new technologies emerge as a success that we were meant to be. Boy, you talk about disparaging Lord's creation, man. So they want to read your mind with all this technology. They want to be, I don't know, one of those superhuman being out of the Marvel comic book, you know, that kind of thing. That's the goal, to bring the human brain with chip technology up to speed to improve cognitive capabilities not ever known before. Doesn't that sound like a Star Trek thing? Anyway, the tech world is calling this cognitive enhancement, and they hope to have a lot of these features ready to enhance the human mind available by 2030. So the first implants are kind of being tested, working out the bugs. They fully expect these implants to provide people with a list. Here's the list. Perfect memory. Photographic memory. That would kind of be kind of scary, I think. How about ability to delete memories at will, like deleting files on a computer? Well, I guess that gives new meaning to the word forget you, you know. How about increase learning speed or improve brain-to-brain communication, mind reading? How about brain-to-computer interfacing? Yeah, that's on their list. Frank, I love you, babe, but I don't want to know what's on your mind. I don't want to read it. I just don't. I like privacy. Let's guard against that. DARPA says this. The interface would serve as a translator conversation between the electrochemical language used by human neurons in the brain and the ones and the zeros that constitute the language of information technology. It's sort of like code writing, right? So whatever's beyond their imagination to do, that's what they're going to do. It's almost like the Tower of Babel all over again. The research on this kind of technology is wide open. It is almost as if they want to build these chips with hologram capabilities where a person can just think of what it would be like to, you know, step back in time and experience a historic event. Or, you know, man, I wish I was in the Bahamas. And you just think about it and you're there. And they want this brain chip technology to be able to take your mind anywhere you want to go. So talk about, you know, daydreaming on steroids. So we're hearing a lot of conversations in the technology world of making chip devices that can provide mental, quote, experiences. And it almost kind of sounds like brain chips will replace street drugs for mental trips. And then there is the question if the technology will give an edge to wealthier individuals that can afford this kind of stuff. However, the scientists respond that the comparison of the brain chips to be a common, it'll be as common as a smartphone. Everybody has the ability to get one. The question is, how are they going to get the chip in that brain? Not everyone can afford, you know, surgery. Brain surgery is not cheap. Even though the chip is common like a cell phone, how are you going to get it in the brain? What did you say, Frank? You said virtual reality. I know, that's right. It's, you know, like in the Star Trek, they would just go to, what was that room, and they would just have a vacation and be on the beach. It was crazy. What did you say, Frank? Oh, the holodeck, the holodeck. Yeah, they go to the holodeck and they would just program the computer and where they wanted to be, the wild, wild west. And you can have a shootout at the OK Corral, or you could be just at a tropical paradise. It was the holodeck. You just transform your world. But this would happen in people's heads, Frank. They could be sitting at their desk being non-productive and do that. Dr. Jiwon Kim, he's at MIT, he says, ultimately, we want the brain chip as big as a fingernail to replace one big supercomputer. Oh. Wow. What about the military? In September 2019, neuroscientist Dr. Moran Seth, Northwestern University, said they're developing brain chips to be used by the military. The brain chip device, he said, is a creation of Professor Michael Kahana, University of Pennsylvania Medical Technology. His research has been funded by the American Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, DARPA. And according to Dr. Seth, the chips are non-invasive and will improve the recipient's IQ. And we're told the average IQ is 100, and anything above 160 is considered a genius. So the brain chips, now called smart chips, will offer an IQ of 200. So Dr. Seth says smart chips are on the fast track to be available to the public within about 5 years. Okay, so Dr. Seth says that the individual who has a smart chip will have the advantage over those who don't have one. He anticipates people with the smart chips to be smarter, faster, healthier, wealthier over those that have an average IQ. It's almost like, you know, Steve Austin, the Million Dollar Man, you know, the Bionic Man, faster, smarter, more capable, blah, 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 faster than a locomotive kind of deal. No, that was Superman. All right, keep them straight. Superheroes are out there. Extreme Tech said this January 2016. They said DARPA has developed put 60 million into making the implants a wideband brain-computer interface. So what are you not told about this? people are interested in having a super mind capability. Brain chip technology may be utilizing wireless technology like 5G, right? Right? So it's convenient, but will you be more vulnerable? Let's see. The risk of mind control through these chips is very likely a possibility by artificial intelligence, electromagnetic radiation to a brain, increasing risk of brain tumors. How about the risk of electromagnetic pulse weapons? There are a number of reports that the EMPs will disrupt medical equipment and implant devices. What will happen if you got a brain chip? You got 100 billion neurons up there. You have low electrostatic current, right? But then if you get like a boost of 5G or an EMP, is it going to fry your brain? I don't know. There is risk here. What about a nuclear bomb that can trigger strange and devastating events? Scientists say, kind of makes electronics go haywire. What about that? If these devices are in your brain and there's this risk, are you going to have like things like brain damage? If you get an EMP, scientists call these events damage zones, which would include the mind where the brain chip is. Oh, God. The damage. Oh, Frank, what? So what about burning out your brain? Cause you to be, dumbing down. I don't know. I don't think they care to, troubleshoot all these what-if problems. They just want to make a bunch of money putting chips in people's heads. Oh, I got more on this topic, but we don't have any more time. Hey, let's save that for Tuesday, okay? We'll try to continue it then. Brain chips, don't let me forget. Don't forget, give the folks at Apothecary Herbs a call. Get their free catalog. Get empowered. Their number's 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com. Also, take advantage of their back-in-stock sale. Save 20%. Details online or give them a call, 866-229-3663. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice from a licensed medical physician, if you dare, before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.